Hallelujah. By the grace of God this morning, the old path, the good way. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Put your hands together for the Lord, everybody. The old path, the good way, from Jeremiah chapter 16. Is that 6 verse 16, Jeremiah? I didn't get it right. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 16, 16, please. Is that 6? Sorry, Jeremiah 6, 16. Jeremiah 6, 16. Verse, chapter 6, verse 16. Read with me, everybody. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Our hymn just said, the path that our fathers walked, the good old way, the path to heaven. I expect to get to heaven by the same old way. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And again we read, thus saith the Lord, stand in the ways and take a pause and see. And then, if you are still in doubt and not sure, say, ask for the paths. Amen? And ask for the good way. And then do what? Walk therein. We are instructed not to remove the ancient landmark, but to follow the old path, even the good way. Now, the ancient old way we are talking about is not just necessarily the days of the old. It is things that passes from generation to generation. I want to say that in our day, there is things that are new, that are good. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Technology, some science, some opinion, some understanding. In that regard, I said here, we may be geared for the newer generation, that is prepared for the newer generation ways. But we must be anchored in Christ, the Ancient of Days. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In our day, many believe that the end justifies the means. Therefore, they trash, they negate the old good way in order to get to where they want to go or where they think they are going. They promote outing the old way to the detriment of mankind. Giving a quick example, today it used to be that the way for revival or to pray for revival, to believe God, is to fast, pray, and ask God. Today some use every kind of human imagination, witchcraft even, bury stuff under the pulpit, use demonic powers to attract people, to give money, support, and they drove in thousands. And I asked myself, do these people read the word of God? Can they see what is behind this? Just from the way they minister, the way they do things, their life, and everything about them, it is telling me that this is not the good old way. But they have 3 services on Sundays. Thousands come, park, and go. Thousands come, spark, and go. Thousands come, spark, and go. 3 times in a day. When many Bible-believing church can barely fill a seat of 100 or 200. The Bible say, what did they say? We will not walk therein. It's a decision. It's not that they are blind to the facts. It's just that the state of mind have come to the point that we have neglected the good old way. Say, stand in that ways and see and ask of the paths, the path of the fathers, the old good way, and then walk in them, and ye shall find what? Rest for your souls. But they say, we are not going to be in them. The path of Calvary cannot be changed, cannot be manufactured again, cannot be added or subtracted from. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It is the good old way. Those that will remove the familiar landmark, be careful. I'm going to bring out some stuff in this morning message. Those that will change the familiar landmark, be careful. Because the judgment of God grinds slow. Because judgment of God is slow, the wheel turns so slow, the heart of sons of men are strong and hardened upon God. Say, where is his judgment? But it will catch up. Those that will remove the familiar landmark that direct people to the old path, the good way, be careful. At times in a desert, there is an oasis. That oasis is the only source of drinking water. You may travel hundreds of miles without finding any other source to drink water. So if you're lost, you are dead. But then, good men will now take pillars, take stones to mark the way to these oasis in the desert. So that travelers, when they are wandering around, they will come to the stone pillar. And it will point them to the direction. 10 miles or 5 miles again, to the pillar, and then to the oasis where they can find water to replenish their souls. Evil men, intentionally, just for creating havoc in the demonic power that controls them, will deliberately go and take those stones and move it in different direction, point to different direction, just to create mischief. So the traveler, the lone traveler, all these people who are traveling, the caravan, will come and say, hey, that is the way, but it's not the way. Maybe a veteran guide will be there and say, no, that is not the way. If you go that way, you are going to wander in the desert and die of thirst. And good people will take that stone or that landmark and put where it's supposed to be to direct people to the oasis. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Beware if you are that evil person in the word of God that is today in the ministry, in the church, in the choir, in anywhere you might be, that is directing people away from the two oasis, which is Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The good old way. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8. Please, let's be fast this morning. Hebrews 13, 8. One attribute of God, the unchangeable God, who said that heaven and earth will pass away, but not one dot of my word will fall to the ground. What did Jesus say? Jesus Christ the same. Jesus Christ the same. And you cannot make God to change from that word. He is the same yesterday. He is the same today. And he is the same forever. So when people start to point to things that is strange, and I just wonder really, how can somebody who call themselves a Christian believe this trash? How can they go along with this? Many of them know. And all of them are blinded, delusional. But most say, I will just not walk therein. In the good old way. Be careful. For God is not in his nature to change. You can buy a book today. A year after, the writer will write volume 2 and add one word and change certain things because he's man. But not so with God. Acts chapter 24 verse 14. Let's be fast, please. Acts chapter 24, 14. Paul, in defense of his ministry, why are you going back to the days of the fathers? Why are you trashing the new generation Pharisees and the Sadducees? The ways of this new generation, the way they do things, and the way they say, no. But this I confess unto you, everybody with me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. He was a champion of the Pharisees. He studied under Gamaliel, the best doctor of law in his day. He knew the in and out of the law. Out of his zeal, he went on to persecute the church. But when Jesus Christ met him, he opened his eyes and he saw the true meaning of the law that they are fulfilled in Christ Jesus. And he started to bring it out. And the same people who say we are following the real way, they become troublesome, persecuting him, say you've forgotten the way. He said, no, this I confess unto you, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers. Amen. Believing what? All things. Everything, not some, or done. Later on, if I have time, I go into the three types of laws. The civil law, the ceremonial law, and the moral law. Christ came to fulfill all of these things, but there are certain things that is over with. The ceremonial law and the civil law is for the days of those Israelites and stuff. But the moral law, the law of love, the law of God, the God that doesn't change, those law is still the same as it was yesterday. It will be so today and it will be the same forever. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 30 to the 31. Today, what we are seeing is the gospel of convenience and comfort. The accommodating new way. I've been hammering on this year about what is happening in the world. The interfaith exchange belief. Accommodating new ways. The gospel of what? Comfort. Convenience. You know, let's accept everything as it is. Let us be careful. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A wonderful thing, he says, and a horrible thing at the same time is committed in the land. Jeremiah said 31. No, the same 31. The prophet does what? Prophesy lies falsely. And the priests bear rule by their means, by their own authority, not based on the word of God again. And my people love what? To have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? As the question the Lord asked. When people spew lies to you, I don't care what they call themselves, I don't care who they are, their DODs or whatever, if you cannot fight it in the word of God, it is not so. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For some are pure agents of the devil. They are not there for Christ. They merely wear a robe for as a Christian, but they are wolves in sheep's clothing. The prophets are anointed other by God that their duty is to speak the truth as an oracle of God. They are to say without fear or favor. They are to bear the rule of God, not by their own means, their own authority, but by God's authority. But now they do what? They profess falsely. And the priests, the pastors, and the evangelists, and others, and so on, they do what? They just institute their own authorities. They put things that are not there. Twist the scriptures. Edit it to fit their own opinion. Add or subtract. And if you come out and say, no, I did not see it so, you become the people that is old-fashioned. You are no more in equal with the new generational way, the new creed, new ways. Because they love you so. Say, what will you do in the end? There is a time of reckoning coming, people, where each and every one of us will stand before God and answer how we hold our faith, our ministry, the way we thought, the way we act before God. It doesn't matter if you believe God for 100 years or 50 years or 20 years. God is calling each one of us into account this morning to go back to the old way. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And if somebody should correct you, do not take offense. If somebody should point out that this is not the old way, rather by repenting, do not take offense. Repent and make effort to change. Even if you cannot change, at least admit that you will try. But for this, my people take offense and say, I will not walk therein. Don't give me any correction. Father, don't give me that seat. You have no right to tell me what I should do. Yes, I don't. But God does. And if I approach you in love and say certain things, please, it is because I fear for your soul. It's because I love you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But then we have developed itching ear. Don't tell me nothing. It's the new generational way. It's not the old way. A departure from the old way will make us to stray from things that God holds sacred. The work of righteousness, for instance. Today, the work of righteousness is in question. The postmodernism has come to believe that all truth is relative. That all truth is what? Relative. This ungodly doctrine states that there are no absolute truths. This ungodly doctrine is now telling people in the church, in your home, in the TV, everywhere, that there is no absolute truth. But we hold this to be true, that unchanging God, with whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning, will never change. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's a doctrine that's made its way into church through insidious ways. Relative truth. The issue of elephant and a mouse. Which one is bigger? Somebody can argue from now to Armageddon that the mouse is just big and bigger in its own because the species of mouse is this and not the elephant. That there is no absolute truth. And therefore, it would only way into the household of God. There is no more absolute truth. But we hold it to be true that the word of God is true. That there is a virgin birth. That Jesus came. He died on the cross. He is alive forevermore. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that there is hell and heaven. Blessed be the name of the Lord. These things, the equation, we hold it to be true in Jesus' name. God, they will tell you there's no absolute truth. That's those that will question the work of righteousness. If we stay away from the old way, it will become vain and proud, for which I say we are really nothing. When we stay away from the old way, we will become vain and proud and arrogant and stay away from the fear of God. All talking about how the whole world is brought down to their knees and fear is taking control of the hearts of men. And I say this world that is so, so big or full of themselves with their nuclear bombs, that can wipe out this world 100 times, 1,000 times over. It's about 6,000 and so just in one nation at times. And then one tiny virus, you cannot see it with your eyes. If there are 3 million of them on that world, you can't see it. You have to use a magnifying, powerful microscope to even identify it. One tiny one, proper from I don't know where. And he brought the whole world to his knees. Are we that powerful? Does it show you that we are powerful? Does it show you that we really know what we are doing? There is a God that is in control. He's just allowing people, because of his mercy, because of his kindness, allow this world to continue the way it is. One day, he has not even spoken. This is just a finger of the Lord that he allowed. He will bring it to an end because his people is intervening and praying. But see how tiny microscope on organism that's nowhere, viral something, brought the whole world to his knees. That shows you that our arrogance, we're full of ourselves. Say, what are you, oh man? Hallelujah. What are you? You are like a breath, a vapor. So, I don't care what, so I am this, I am that, I'm this and that. We are really nothing but for the grace of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. If you stay away from the old way, you will substitute ritual with the fear of God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 21 to 23. Please, quick. Colossians chapter 2, verse 21 to 23. It says here that we are to touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. Bible, the word of God is telling us about the importance of the old way. When we cannot figure out the old way, the nature of man is to try to substitute it with something new. Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 7. Let's read it quickly, please. Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 7. Deuteronomy 32:7. It's remember the days of the old. Consider the years of many generations. Let's stop there. When you want to review God and his work, you need to stay back a little and look at the past, the generations past, how God deals with situation. Because God is an unchanging God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then he said again, ask thy father or thy father fathers or whatever, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. That is where this world has gone wrong. Children doesn't ask fathers or mothers, what is your opinion? They claim to know. I know it all. But where are you learning from? From the world? From their lies? From their perversion? From their delusional messages that they send to you? Why don't you go back to the old way, to the Bible way, and see what God said about it you are about to do, and believe it? Blessed be the name of the Lord. The new way is that homosexuality is right. Does God change? And it's even in the church. They will castrate you and throw you away if you are running for office and you go against any of those things. In an office, you dare not have a viewpoint. Just believe it, and in school and so on. But God said that I've refused the fear of God. Therefore, he gave them over to these ungodly, unnatural ways. Then some of us say, hey, well, I'm not that. What of you? Are you a liar? Are you a thief? Do you have unforgiveness in your heart? The same principle applies. There's no relative truth with God. There's only absolute truth with him. A sin is a sin. And truth will always be true. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, remember the old days, consider the years of many generations. And then ask thy fathers, and he will show thee. And thy elders, and they will do what? Tell you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's the way to go. The old ways. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One of the things that a departure from the old way does is promote social injustice. social injustice. It used to be even in some native African-American tradition or American or whichever nation you talk of. There are certain titles you cannot put on. They will not allow you to be initiated into that title. You cannot be Ozo in Igbo land in those days. Because if you dare take that title and you have harmed a widow or widows because they have no help. If you have taken from the orphan because they have nobody to intervene for them, you are in real trouble. Today, people will buy up all these titles and assume leadership that they didn't merit by the work. Today, there is no more social justice. Some people just out there to control and take everything. They don't care who they trample on their feet, who they march over, who they destroy in their quest to get it all. And even happens in the church. Selling prayers for money. And people are actually buying it. They sent it to me. Couldn't believe it. With some oil and some paper and whatever. If I pray this kind of prayer, this next stage, that kind of prayer, this one from America here, for God's sake. They can't be sending it out if somebody is not paying for it. From a very well-known prophet or whatever. But that is the nature of the world today. We do not look at the word of God, we just walk on it, we walk all over it, we trample with hobnail shoe where angels fear to tread. That is not right. May God have mercy in Jesus' mighty name. We also, when we neglect the good old way, we will promote rebellion and initiate apostasy. We've spoken on this in detail last times that we were here. So we're not going to go into that. Be careful, people, and I bring these two examples to show you how serious it is when we neglect the old way. I don't care what the modernism preaching ideology is all about. There is a good old way that the Bible has instituted for us, and we are to be careful and walk therein by the grace of God. Amen. These two examples will bring out some of this point I'm saying. In Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 to 3. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 to 3. Please hurry up. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein, and put incense therein, and offered strange fire before the what? Go on to two. Hurry up, please. And they went out fire from the Lord, amen, and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Three. And Moses said, Aaron, this is it that the Lord has spoken, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me. And before all the people, I will be glorified. And Aaron was wise enough to hold his peace. Didn't question that argument. These are people raised to be priests unto the Lord. And their parameter that God have said, it looks like nothing. It's a minuscule something. What is this? Fire? Well, I can just bring any fire. My lighter, my this thing. But God said, no. That's a special fire. Perpetual fire that burns. You take the coal, you put it on the pan or something like they call it in those days. And then you wave it around in the altar. And that is where you light your fires. And there's some special way that those candles are made and the anointing oil and everything. And the priests, these are priests, sons of Aaron themselves, this was written down in order for them. But that was the old way to them. Well, they come one day says, fire is fire. Let us just write the fire anyway. Why do we have to go through all these rituals, all this process, all this whatever God, you know, do it like this, do it like that, change it, Lord, and so. And say, let us just do it our own way. And they did what? And God called it what? Strange fire. And many of us today, many people of God are writing strange fire all over in our doctrines, in our belief system, in the things we are saying, in the things we are questioning. Why don't you prove it from the scriptures? Stop twisting it left, right, front, and back. God doesn't change. I may not fully understand it, but please prove it to me with the word of God. Amen. There have been things I believe. I was so sure that it was so. Along the way, God's mercy showed me that it's not so. I'm quick to change and hold my peace and say, yes, I was wrong. But until I'm convinced otherwise, until God prove it to me, don't force it into my mouth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You can preach it from here to the kingdom of God. Unless revelation breaks into the heart of sons of men or daughter of men, it makes no meaning. So they wrote a strange fire and used it to light up in the household of in the tabernacle. And he said the fire of God came and devoured them. Kill these two sons of the high priest of the Most High God. Wipe them out. And God didn't apologize to Aaron. Moses told him, well, you do know that God said, I will be sanctified. What? In them that come close to me. You are the glory of God in manifestation. Therefore, be careful. And if you err, repent of it. God still demands holiness from people that serve him. In any capacity, you are a child of God. You are required to try to shape up. Do your best, and God's grace will be abundant. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because God will be sanctified or glorified, whether you like it or not. Second example, the last example. First Chronicles chapter 13, verse 1. Let's do this quickly, please. First Chronicles chapter 13, verse 1. Hurry up. And David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. Go to 7. 7. And David said unto all the congregation, no, go to 7. 13, 7. 1 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 7. I don't want to read the whole place. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab. And Uzzah and Ahio drove the cart. Go to 9. Quickly. And when they came unto the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. Go to 10. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him because he put his hand to do what? To help the ark. And he died before God. 12. And David was afraid of God that day. Looked like that day he was really afraid of God. I'll tell you why. Say, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? This is a situation we are seeing all over the whole world now, without mentioning names and stuff. Doing God a service outside his will. A noble deed gone wrong. People taking mantle of certain leadership and authority. Be careful. Now, here is the mistakes of David. This ark was stranded somewhere, it'd been left somewhere for a long time. At a point, it was necessary. God gave him now Jerusalem as a city. He won and conquered Jerusalem. He overcame the Philistines and took a very mighty city, built on a hill. It could be well defensed. It's a mighty city still till today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he said, now I will bring the ark of God back to this wonderful city I built. And he went about doing it. But one of the first mistakes he was saying in verse 1, go to verse 1 again, 13 verse 1. 1 Corinthians 13, 1. And David consulted with the captain of what? Thousands and hundreds. And with every leader, the mighty, great people. But he didn't connect to talk to Nathaniel the prophet. Or to the high priest that knows the law. You will find out that in verse 14, in the same place that there is a, that the ark, God already gave them a commandment how to move the ark. This ark cannot be touched by human hand. You have to carry it in a stave, a pole, you know, put it through the stave and carry it on the shoulder of the high priest. And there are methods, there are procedures stipulated by God for whatever reason, I don't care, but God has his reasons. When he gave Moses the vision of the temple in the distance, he said, build it according to the specification, exactly, for it is for a purpose. God doesn't add an inch where it doesn't need to be added. There is a reason why God put those things there. We may not know it all, we may not understand it, but there's a purpose and ordinance and structure for every action or word of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Say, the priest, only the son of Kohath, shall carry this word, this ark. In Numbers chapter 4, verse 15, let's just read it quickly. Numbers chapter 4, verse 15. Numbers 4, 15. Numbers 4, 15. And when Aaron and his sons have made end of covering the sanctuary and all the vessels of the sanctuary, as the camp is to set forward, after that, the sons of who? Kohath shall come to bear it. And they shall not touch any holy thing, lest they die. These things are the burden of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation. That is instruction. Go to Exodus chapter 25, 14. Exodus 25, 14. Hurry up. Exodus 24, 15. And thou shalt not put the staves into the rings by the side of the ark, that the ark may be borne with them. Ha. That's the instruction of God, the old good way. But David consulted with the leaders. Didn't consult with the prophet of God. He consulted with the captains of thousands of 100. Didn't consult the high priest of God in those days. How is this ark going to be moved from point A to B? It's a noble thought. And somebody raised his hand and said, I know what to do. Yes, I know. Let us build a nice oxen and pad it with gold, whatever, and put the ark on it. And so we can move the ark faster because all Israel were in attendance for this great occasion. That is the way I say, yeah, yeah, we vote for it. Nobody consulted the word. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You ought to consult the word of God. If you hear anything strange you don't understand, consult the word. If you are not sure, call the elders. Talk to your fathers. Talk to somebody who may know better and whom you trust in the Lord. Let them guide you in the way of truth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We go it alone and we make mistakes. And when we correct or try to correct these days, you are just out of there. You are no more the modern person. We know it all. We live in this fear of the old-fashioned way. And therefore, we take new and destructive ways. So they put the ark in a fashionable cart and oxen were carrying it all the time God was fuming. I didn't tell them not to do this. Just carry it on the shoulder of the priest, like I instructed. And then somebody wanted to help God. The ark stumbled. The old one, and he reached out to steady it. And what? He died right there and then. And David said, ha, how can I take this ark to my home? How can I take this ark to my home? See how God takes every instruction serious. God is not man. Amen? Neither is he the son of man. There's no changing. There's no variableness with God. What he was yesterday, he is today. and he will be forever. Blessed be the name of the Lord. First Chronicle chapter 15, verse 2. First Chronicle 15, 2. Hurry up. First Chronicles chapter 15, verse 2, not 22. 2. And David said, after this thing happened, not all to carry the ark of God, but the Levites. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Now he went and consulted. He did his research. He called the right people and said, what is to be done? Because for them had the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever. For whatever reason, I don't know why God chose that sons of Kohath, the Levites, to be the one that will carry the ark. Do not go carry the ark when you are not instructed to carry it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When it is not your position, when it is not entitled to you, for there is a reckoning. For these sons of Kohath, if you read more, there are things they have to do and prepare for. They don't just come to carry it. It is an ordinance that is left in their own, and they have to know they have to study it and stay to it. It may be under the ceremonial law that may not be applicable, but there is certain law that is a foretype. That is all that is a shadow of things to come. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that shadow and that foretype you cannot do away with. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. As we are rounding up, Jesus, in Matthew chapter 15, verse 17 to 20, said, I did not come to destroy the law. Matthew chapter 15, verse 17. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do you not yet understand that whatsoever enters into the mouth, just move down to the next one, 18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth defile a man, go to 19, please. And he said, for out of the heart proceeded evil, adultery, and theft, and so on and so forth. It's not that we want to read, but that's okay. Let's leave it. He said, I do not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill them and bring them to perfection. Today, we tend to walk all over the laws of God. Christ did not initiate it. There are a lot of things that God put in place for his children, for us to follow through. I said here that Jeremiah paid a heavy price in an effort to return God's people to the true and old way. And he was called a liar. I'm going to read out some of the stuff that Jeremiah, for a reason I want to put it here, just on record. He said, Jeremiah was called an evil person and a liar in Jeremiah chapter 43, verse 2. Leave that. His clothes were burnt by King Jehoiakim in Jeremiah chapter 36, verse 3. Beating and putting stocks, Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. Cast in a deep well with mud at the bottom of the pit, Jeremiah chapter 38, verse 6. Death sentence was passed unto him, Jeremiah chapter 26, verse 11. These are some of the trial and persecution he called, because he called the whole nation of Israel to return to the good old way. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. And they say, we will not work therein. Go back to that where we read in the beginning, quickly as we round up. Jeremiah chapter 16, chapter 6, verse 16. Jeremiah 16, verse, 6, verse 16. They say, thus say the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your soul. But they said what? We will not walk therein. What happened? The end result is that they wind up in captivity in Babylon. From the king to the least person, we are in bondage for many, many years because they forsake the way and the old way. And my warning to us is that the new Babylonian system we have today is going to try to push you out of the old way, the ways of God. He's going to tell you that certain things is right, it's outdated. God can never be outdated. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Every other thing can pass away, it says. But not one iota, not one dot of this word of God shall fall to the ground. Blessed be the name of the Lord. As we stand on our feet, let's read to close Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 to 24. Stand on our feet, everybody, please. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 to 24. Read with me. This I say thereof, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. 18. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past Philip has given themselves up to lasciviousness, to all work of uncleanliness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him, that ye have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The only old things you have to do away with is the old man in the heart, and put in the new man. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There is a good old way, the old path that God has instituted. Let's work in therein, as God has instructed us, that we may find life in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah.